Paul is discussing a question, basically, that concerns the life we live after we obey the gospel. Now, if the chart on page 12 in your handout and in the workbook is about the action and design of baptism, and this is probably very, very well explained. So I hope you will study this carefully. We'll look at it briefly, but it just talks about the things that occur in baptism and the blessings you receive in baptism, and then it talks about the form of doctrine, which we will get to a little bit later. But very important chapter in the book. The question that Paul answers is posed in verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That's the question. And he answers it very quickly by saying, by no means, or may it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So this is what he's going to be explaining, why you cannot continue to live as you did before you were a Christian when it comes to sinful things. To continue in something is to stay in it, or stay with it, or stay at it, to still abide in that particular activity, to remain, to persevere. He says you can't do that, because he's going to say simply that you have died to sin. How can you continue to live as you did before you heard the gospel, heard about what Jesus has done, learned about the love of God, saw that you had a hope that you didn't have before, and you obeyed the teachings, and now you want to go back and live because you think that because you're under grace that you have some kind of license to continue to sin? So it's a failure to understand the purpose of God's grace, partly. Let's just take a simple illustration. Most of you are familiar with it. If you get a license, it's permission to act. We'll take a motor vehicle since it's easier to explain anything. If you get a license, if you pass a test and you receive a license, that allows you to break all the laws. You can run through a stoplight. You can drive 100 miles an hour in a 25 zone. You can pass a school bus when it's unloading. You can you do those things? Well, we know you can't. But you've got a license. I've got a driver's license. If you've ever been pulled over by a police officer or a law enforcement agent, what's the first thing he or she will probably ask you? May I see your license? If you don't have one, you know you're already in big trouble. And even if you have one, you still could be in big trouble, right? So there must have been those in Paul's day that said, well, you know, we're under grace. You know, we're saved by grace. God is merciful. God is good. God has forgiven our sins. Why can't we continue to live in sin to allow his grace to be more and more displayed or evident? And it just goes against the whole idea. And Paul probably just threw up his hands when he got that question. He said, what are they thinking about? How can you continue in sin when you have died to sin, when you've been crucified with Christ? And another thing that they probably fail to understand is, what does it mean to repent? I mean, repentance precedes baptism in all the examples. It's the turning from sin. It's the willingness to turn away from that activity that has got you separated from God in the first place. And if you baptize someone and never teach them about repentance, then, you know, it's an error on the part of the teacher. Because the gospel clearly teaches that. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will die in your sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter just didn't say repent. It didn't just say be baptized for the remission of sins. He said repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Same thing in Acts 3, repent and be converted. So they must not have thought too much about the things that are so fundamental to the gospel and understanding God's grace. Now, I made a mistake. It is in our songbook, 85. We just sung it. It had a little bit different title. A New Creature is the way I remembered it, and it was, I couldn't find that in our songbook, so I just assumed it wasn't there. But number 85 is the same song we just sang, Buried with Christ. And it is, to me, it tells the story of what Paul is saying in Romans 6, as well as any song that we sing about baptism and the ideas that are around that. So Paul answered the question, by no means or certainly not. You cannot continue to remain in sin. And Paul gives himself as an illustration, because if you look in chapter 6 down there about verse 3, he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might walk in newness of life." Now, verse 5, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." So Paul illustrated that by saying he himself had been crucified with Christ in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, you know, I'm not telling you to do something that I haven't done. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life he lives by faith of the Son of God. So it's the same, it's in one sense, it's the same man. When somebody comes in here and is baptized, and they come up out of the water, are they still the same person? Yeah, you could say yes or no, couldn't you? They are the same physical. I mean, the same person you put in there comes back up. But what happens? That's the whole story here of Romans 6. What happens in that they are buried in this water? And that's going to be obeying the form of doctrine, because, you know, Christ was buried. But was Christ buried alive or buried dead? He was dead, wasn't he? He was dead when he was buried. They were convinced of that. They had proof of that. They laid him in the tomb. He was dead. All right. The analogy that Paul is using is that you have been united with him in death, but you don't remain there. You don't remain buried in the water. You rise up out of the water. Christ rises up out of the grave on the third day. He arose. And so Paul said he was crucified with Christ, but yet he was still living. And he talks about in Galatians chapter 3, and we tried to point out that Galatians 3 is kind of just a shorter version of Romans, in the sense that it teaches much of the same. But there in the third chapter, he clearly states in verse 26, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith, for as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So your sins are put off in baptism in this water by the blood of Christ. But then when you come up out of the water, in this figurative sense, it says you have put on Christ. And that's this transformation, this change of life that takes place. And so Paul said, you know, the great apostle Paul, wonder what he left behind. He was Saul of Tarsus, wasn't he? And then he hears the voice and he hears Ananias, and he's been there the 3 days, and Ananias says, "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And he did that. And so he left his sins behind. That's what you leave behind in baptism. You leave your sins behind. They're washed away. You're cleansed of those past sins, provided you truly are a believer and you are willing to repent of those sins. So, Paul, and I'll not read it all, but if you look through in the sixth chapter, you'll notice how many times he uses a reference to sin. You were in sin, you were dying, but now you die to sin because you've been crucified with Christ, and now you're no longer a slave to sin. It's not your master any longer. You've been freed from sin. It's like the slave has been released. Purchase price has been paid. The ransom has been paid for the sinner, for the slave to sin. And now you're freed from sin. And then he says, now you have to be really careful. And this is where we're going to get into chapter 7, hopefully, next week. What happens after I obey the gospel?
You have to live the gospel.
Right. Now, every day is going to be a struggle. I think everybody will admit that. Paul said, I die daily. He said, I have to buffet my body daily and bring it into subjection, because the devil is not going to let you alone. Not going to give up on getting you back. And so the warning is, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. We'll look down a little bit further. Verse 7 of Romans 6. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for since you are not under law, but under grace. Don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies to obey its lust. Don't let sin be your master. And later on he will talk about the fact that sin is shameful and its outcome is death. But Paul said, why do you want to continue to sin? Why do you want to continue to sin? Based upon the information that he gives them and that they had probably received and heard before, when that goes against everything that God wants for you as his child. He doesn't want you to continue in sin. He wants you now to be a servant of righteousness. He wants you now to do his will and not your own will. And we're going to see, let's just look for a moment on page 12 in your workbook. And just, you might have some questions there. You might have some comments you'd like to make on it. But just if you just look it over there. You're baptized into Christ. Baptized into his death. Baptized with him into death. United with him. We teach, and the Bible teaches, baptism is for the remission of sins. But there are other things to consider too, that are talked about here. And we'll get into the bottom part of that chart in a moment. But I really hope that you'll study the chart over. And if you have any questions about it or about the teachings of Jesus and Paul and the others about this important step, then please, make that known. Be aware of that, that God wants you to realize that this is an important step, and it's one that is not to be entered into, kind of like marriage, is not to be entered into lightly. It's a serious thing, tremendously important.
On
going back to the first verse.
All right.
In our court system, first-time offenders sometimes get leniency, or they may be given grace by the judge not to be penalized.
But okay.
If you keep breaking the law, then you're going to go and be punished for that. So just because you receive leniency or grace does not give you license to continue breaking the law.
No.
Crimes, sin. So it's sort of, you may have gotten grace from the judge, but not continuously.
Good point. Good point.
Sin, if you continue to sin, you are a slave to sin.
Right.
But if you're hooked on some kind of drug or some kind of, and you're trying very hard to get away from that sin, it's so hard to break in without Christ. You can't break that. You can't break that bond that is God on you unless you are diligently seeking Him and trying and working. Now, does it come overnight? Forgiveness comes immediately, but overnight you have to seek it. You have to deal with it, and you have to go on and try to break bonds with that sin.
I think that's next. In chapter 7, we will go into that in depth. The addiction to sin, and many people are addicted, there's no question, and yet they want to be freed from that addiction. And how does that happen is something Paul's going to talk about, I think, in the next chapter. And to be forgiven of past sins is one thing, but now we have to look at the future. And it doesn't mean that every time you sin, you're baptized again. I think that maybe, I don't know if some people ever have thought that or taught that or believe that any time I have sinned and it's brought forth to me, I have to go back into the water. I think in 1 John, which I would advise reading 1 John all the way through when we come to the idea of the fact that he says, you no longer practice sin. The sin is the exception now. After you obey the gospel, you will sin, we will sin, we will come short of the glory of God, we will make mistakes, we'll err, but we are determined not to practice it and be addicted to it like you pointed out. But that's a challenge. And Paul says, even chapter 7, wretched man that I am. He said, there's part of me that wants to do this and part of me wants to do that. Part of me wants to do right and part of me wants to do what I want to do.
He beats his body daily.
That's right.
Bringing in subjection.
That's right.
And that is how you have to break that bond of sin and
bond. And that leads us into this new life we have in Christ. This is how it can be changed. Let's continue there in verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are no longer under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were once the slaves of sin. You have become obedient from the heart to that standard or form of teaching to which you were committed. Having been freed from sin, you become the slaves of righteousness. All right, let's talk about the person who is baptized. And the sins are washed away. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to serve and please God. They come up out of the water. They start a new life. They're walking now in newness of life. All right, so the person who comes up out of the water, being baptized, they have obeyed from the heart. Notice the conditions. Obedient from the heart. They truly believe. What did Philip ask the Ethiopian eunuch when the eunuch said, "Here's water for what hinders me from being baptized"? What did Philip say?
If you truly
believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you may. We'll stop right here at this water. And they did. They went down in the water and he baptized them. came up out of the water rejoicing, because now that he had learned the truth, he wanted to do right, and somebody showed him what to do. He did it. He raised, he walked in newness of life. And that's why he could go on his way rejoicing. He had obeyed from the heart the teachings that Philip had told him had come from God. In the book of 2 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, Paul talks to the Corinthians about this subject. And he says, verse 16, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." All right, I'm free. I am free. Who's the guy on the radio that has the people call out something? I've heard him before. Dave Ramsey? What he used to do, or maybe he still does it, if you've ever heard of his rail program, they call in and now they're debt-free, so they get to holler into the holler into the radio, "Well, we're debt-free." Exciting. Exciting. If you ever paid off a debt, it is exciting. You may not holler to the world, but it is. And now you are free from sin. I am freed from sin. I am freed from it. I'm alive. I was dead in sin, but now I'm alive. With all the possibilities that life in Christ brings. Yeah. It's a time of celebration. It really is. We don't maybe celebrate it enough. We don't. I know we'll encourage people who have become Christians, who've obeyed the gospel and baptized. But it truly is a time of life. You are now alive, lost and found. It's just like in the Bible when people in Luke 15, when they found the sheep, when they found the coin, when the lost son returned, they celebrate. Call the family, call the friends. We've got something to rejoice about. And it is, when somebody obeys the gospel, there's one less sinner in the world. And that's something to rejoice about. One less sinner. One less sinner. So now what do? I do not have a license to continue in sin. And the instruments here are the body, our bodies. But now, the members of my body are to be instruments of righteousness to God. I have a new master. I have a new one I'm serving. And I want to do his will now. And so that's what Paul said. You do that. You present your members of your body to the Lord. And this free gift of God is eternal life. Now, let's look there at just verses 16 and 17. "You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or standard of teaching to which you were committed." This has been an interesting question. And if you look back on page 12 of your workbook, the form of doctrine. The form of doctrine is, a form is kind of like a mold that you make. The doctrine itself is the death of Jesus Christ. The death of Christ, his burial and his resurrection. That's the teaching. That's what we tell people. That's what the Bible says. The Corinthian letter talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about those essential facts. If you wanted to start somebody out to teach them about what it means and what Jesus did, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and you read the first few verses of chapter 15 where it talks about, notice what Paul said in verse 3. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scripture." That's the doctrine. That's the teaching that you tell them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, that sums it up. And then you obey something. You obey that form of doctrine. Well, the form would be Paul or Jesus died. We died of sin. He was crucified. We were crucified with Christ. He was buried. We are buried in baptism. And then he rose and we rise. And I think this explains it pretty well. Let's do the question. I think we've got time to do the questions. But you can, probably the most famous of all those verses is verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. A lot of people know that verse. That's the benefit. That's the fact that we. That's why he says you don't continue in sin because its wages is death. All right, let's look at the questions. Let me find the questions here. Okay, number one. What was asked by the scoffers? Anybody got that one? Okay, shall we continue in sin? Number two. Why could Christians no longer live in sin? Why could they no longer live in sin?
They've died to sin.
Okay. Dead to sin. All right, number three. Into what two things are we baptized?
Into Christ and into his death.
Very good. Into Christ and into his death. Number four. Baptism consists of what two things? From verse 4.
A burial and a resurrection.
Very good. Number five. What happens to the old man of sin? What happens to the old man of sin? Well, I agree. The author. Anybody put burial or the old man of sin is buried? I think you can accept that. I think that's fine. I put crucified and then the body is buried. So, number six. Like I said, we may not agree with everything the author wrote for an answer. What are three great fundamental points? What are the three great fundamental parts of doctrine from verse 17? Yes, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And we obey that form of doctrine when we do what? And that's not on here. What do we do? How do we obey that form of doctrine? We do what first? We
die.
Die. To sin,
are buried
in baptism, and then we come up out of the water, and we're ready to live in a life to glorify God in thanksgiving. Number seven. What is the form of doctrine which we obeyed? Maybe I got ahead of myself. Anybody got that? Or have I just answered it? Did I kind of answer it? Maybe I did and didn't really mean to. We died to sin, buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Okay. Number eight. When do we become the servants of Christ? When do we become the servants of Christ?
When we become obedient to
him. Anybody else? I don't know what the answer is he's going to put. The day you get saved. Okay. When do we become the servants of Christ? Miss Berthley may be on to something there. After baptism. And you wanna that's when the sins are washed away, you're forgiven, and you have salvation. Okay. Number nine, what is the end of the Christian life? What's the end of the Christian life? Okay? When you die, I agree, your life is over when you die. But then there's something else, isn't there? Purpose of the Christian life is to receive eternal life. Eternal happiness with God. Okay. So that's what your, when your physical life ends, you've got something, your soul lives on. Number 10, what are the wages of sin? Yes. And the last one, what is the gift of God through Jesus Christ?